What's up, everyone? How's it going? Welcome back to the Pokemon Shelter. My name's Ryan. I just want to start off by saying I'm sorry I haven't really been around the last few weeks. I was sick for about 2 weeks, like really sick. I don't know what's going on with me. Like, I was weak, horrible congestion. I took a COVID test, but it told me that they didn't have a good enough specimen to conclusively tell me whether I was positive or negative. So they wanted me to retest, but I didn't want to go like retest and have to stay out of work longer. I don't think it was COVID. I'm pretty sure it was just a cold. But yeah, I was pretty sick for about 2 weeks. If you recall the last podcast that I did, I spoke of how I felt and how I hadn't been feeling good for a few days, you know, prior to that episode. But everything's good now. Also, we've had a couple of things going on as a family. We are expecting a child within the next month. So there's a lot that goes, you know, along with that in terms of getting things ready, getting a plan together, making sure that we have everything we need situated for the arrival of the child. And yeah, that's pretty much everything that's been going on, guys. I missed the 25th anniversary. I didn't miss it. I watched it. I watched everything I wanted to watch in regards to the 25th anniversary. But I didn't get to make a podcast, you know, directly after the weekend of. And for that, I do apologize. But in today's podcast, I do want to cover everything that's happened. A couple of things that are coming up soon. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today for this episode. I hope to be more consistent in my uploads. We'll see how it plays out once the child comes. Obviously, I want to upload a new episode every week, but if I do stray away from that a little bit, I hope you guys will understand. It's going to be my first time having a baby in the house, so I'm not sure how that is. Some people say it's hard, some people say it comes easy, so I don't know what to expect. But yeah, I do want you guys to know that every weekend that I haven't made one, I've wished that I could have, and I'm sorry. But we have a new episode today. We're going to go over a lot of things that happened on the 25th anniversary, a couple things that are coming up, and it should be a good episode. So the first thing I want to speak of was from the 25th anniversary weekend, and it's the Post Malone concert. I felt it was a little underwhelming. The graphics were cool, the art style. It was really good seeing like the interaction with the Pokemon, and it really felt like a living, breathing world. But I think it was Post's voice or Post Malone's voice that ruined it for me. You have his newer music that sound really good. I like his newer music. His voice, you know, sounded really good on those songs, but for me, the disconnect came when he tried to perform his older music. You can really tell like how much different his voice is over the last few years. And I'm not sure if that boils down to his lifestyle, because I know he loves to drink and loves to smoke cigarettes. And, you know, that stuff damages your vocal cords. That stuff damages your voice. And I also know a few years ago, he had like a really hectic touring schedule. For a while, for a few years in a row, he was the most heavily toured musician, as far as I'm aware. His touring schedule was just ridiculous, and it obviously didn't give his body enough time to heal, his voice enough time to heal, and him enough time to get the rest that he needs and take care of himself. So it was an okay experience. It wasn't what I was expecting. It was all digital, you know, animated, CG type thing, or CGI rather, but his voice really ruined it for me. If it wasn't for that, it would have been great. If he would have just performed his newer music, it would have been amazing, but the older music really did ruin it for me a good bit, I do feel. But it is what it is, you know what I mean? He's always going to want to try to perform those older songs. I just hope it gets to a point where he can do his older music and do it some type of justice. So next, let's talk about the Logan Paul box break. If you guys didn't watch it, Logan Paul did another box break, which we've spoke of in previous podcasts. He sold the box for over $1 million because he sold the individual packs, kind of like he did, you know, the time prior. But this time the packs went for a lot more. We've already gone over the amount that he's made from these packs and this booster box in general. So the biggest thing in the box break was that he pulled two first edition Charizards. Now, that's a card that if it grades a PSA 10 like we spoke of before, it's going to get an exclusive title in the slab, in the PSA holder. So it'll say like Logan Paul's box break, first edition box break or something of that nature. I wouldn't be surprised if one of those gets a 10, which I think both of them will probably get 10s. They look to be in really, really good shape. He handed them off to someone else during the live stream who looked over them. And we got, you know, pretty good look at the cards while Logan was opening up the packs. But if they do get graded a PSA 10, those cards could go for $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, $900,000 a piece. So that's just ridiculous, man, that car could go for that much. And it should. You know, first edition cards, first edition Charizards in general, along with first edition booster boxes, have become like a status symbol almost. So for a long time you had, you know, the rich and the famous, they have certain cars, you know, Rolls Royce or things of that nature. You have certain things that are synonymous with, you know, money or celebrity. And the first edition Charizard is slowly becoming one of those, you know, symbols. And I'm okay with that, honestly. At first, I was a little upset about it. I was a little, you know, disappointed. I was upset. But now I'm okay with it. Like, there are certain things in Pokemon that should be considered that. Like, if you look at the older booster boxes and older booster packs, and those things should be worth a lot. Going forward, if we want Pokemon to be something that is worth a good bit of money, you're going to need some things that are worth a lot of money, some things that are unobtainable for the average Joe. You're going to need that in order to catapult the rest of the hobby to where we want it to be. I'm okay with it being a first edition Charizard. I'm okay if I never own one at this point. I'm okay if it's a first edition booster box. I'm okay with never owning that. But as long as the rich and the famous have them, it's going to have a trickle-down effect onto other things that I want to sell, other things that I'm collecting that I'm hoping are worth a lot one day. I have a lot of sealed items that I'm really hoping are worth a lot one day. And this is how it's going to happen, because once those first edition booster boxes are all gone, there's only a few left, and the Logan Pauls and the Logics and the Steve Aokis and all these people are the only ones who have them, and they're obviously not going to get rid of them. It's going to move down to something else. What's the next best thing? It's going to go to your jungle booster boxes, your Team Rockets, your Neo Destinies, and then it's eventually just going to trickle down. So I don't think that we can be mad at how it's going. We have to be excited for what it could possibly bring for the rest of the hobby, for everything else. Anyway, I digress. Very early in the live stream, he pulled the two first edition Charizards, like very early. I would say like within the first quarter. Yeah, within the first quarter of the live stream. And not only the two Charizards, but he pulled so many holos so early on. And I think that caused Logan to lose his momentum. And he almost became like robotic and droney almost. You could tell that like halfway through the box, he just wasn't very pumped or excited, as he should have been, because he had already pulled so many holos. So for those of you who don't know, like in a first edition base set booster box, you get an average of 12 holos. You can have boxes that have 14, but for the most part, you're looking at 12 holos. That's the average. So before the halfway point in the live stream, he had almost pulled all 12. I remember there was a huge, huge gap there between holographics, and I think it caused him to, you know, he wasn't really as into it as he should have been. But the cards that he pulled, well, the holos that he pulled the two Charizards, three Chanseys, two Raichus, one Alakazam, one Venusaur, one Blastoise, one Gyarados, and at the end, the very last pack was a Mewtwo. And the last, you know, card, the Mewtwo, was for the collectible guru guy that gets a lot of hate in the hobby. If you guys aren't aware of who he is, I don't even want to go into it. He's pretty much just a scumbag. He knows nothing about Pokemon. He's in it for the money. The worst type of person you could have trying to, you know, educate people when he knows nothing about it himself. But he got the Mewtwo. He was actually there at Logan Paul's house. His pack was the last pack. We had only had 11 holos of him to that point, so we were banking on the 12th one, and it was a Mewtwo. I don't like the guy. I don't respect him, but I kind of wish it would have been like a third Charizard. This would have catapulted that box break even higher than it already will be, having the two Charizards. Yeah, he got one of every starter, you know. Well, at least one. He got one Venusaur, one Blastoise, two Charizards. All in all, it was a really, really good box break. A lot of people lost a lot of money, but some people made, you know, good money, especially the Charizards. All right, so next up, I want to talk video games. So the 25th anniversary, the Pokemon Company did release a video where they announced three upcoming video games. The three video games, you have Pokemon Brilliant Diamond, Pokemon Shining Pearl, and Pokemon Legends Arceus. So the Diamond and Pearl games are pretty much remakes that take you back to the Sinnoh region. It's pretty much a one-to-one remake of the Diamond and Pearl games. Obviously, the graphics are updated. Kind of like we saw with the Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee that we got a few years ago. And they were loosely remakes of Pokemon Yellow. But the mechanics were a lot different than the base Pokemon Yellow game. So you didn't really battle wild Pokemon to catch them or anything. You didn't have to damage those Pokemon. You didn't have to try to get their HP low without causing them to faint in order to catch them. It fused together like a traditional Pokemon game with the Pokemon Go mobile game. But the Diamond and Pearl remakes, they look really, really amazing. Even down to the art style, like the characters still maintain, I guess you would call it that chibi art style that the original games had, which I think is super cool. I remember playing Diamond and Pearl when I was younger. I've played every Pokemon game for the most part. I've never missed a Pokemon game. And Diamond and Pearl, while it wasn't my favorite generation of Pokemon, the games were very, very cool. And I didn't know how much something as small as like having the same art style for the characters would hit me with that nostalgic feeling and have me looking forward to a game like it has me looking forward to the Brilliant Diamond and the Shining Pearl. So out of the two, I think I'll most likely go with the Brilliant Diamond, as I'm like a bigger Dialga fan than I am Palkia. Palkia is, think, water and Dialga steel, which I like Dialga a lot more. I like the design of Dialga. I like the color scheme. But yeah, those are Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. The third game that they announced is Pokemon Legends Arceus. So this game is like unlike anything we've seen so far for the most part. It takes place in the Sinnoh region, just like the Diamond and Pearl games, but it takes place a long time ago. Like, way back when. So, like, in the trailer, you have a shot where the Pokeballs are on a table, and they're actually made out of wood. Like, that's how old, or that's how long ago the game takes place in. So, like, the Pokeballs were made out of wood. And the game trailer honestly reminded me of Zelda Breath of the Wild, but with Pokemon. Like, down to the art, the open world aspect, the way everything looks, the graphics, it looks like Zelda, but Pokemon. And if you have a Switch and if you're into Pokemon, for years we have asked for that. We've said, just give us Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild with Pokemon. And it looks like the Pokemon Company is trying that, at least to see how it goes. So the trailer shows you, like, traversing the Sinnoh region. It shows the player catching a Pokemon. But there's, like, no disconnection. There's no pause. And what I mean by that is, like, the player didn't have to run into a Pokemon, and then a battle ensued like we're accustomed to. So in the trailer, the player is running around. The player crouched down into the grass and moved towards the two Pokemon that were out there. The player threw a Pokeball, tossed a Pokeball at a Pokemon. The Pokemon was caught in the Pokeball, and then it just bounced a few times on the ground like it normally does, you know, where it rolls back and forth. You're familiar with the good old three rolls. And yeah, that's how it showed a Pokemon being caught. Now, from what I've read, you can learn the you can study Pokemon, you can learn how they are, you know, their way. The word is escaping me currently, man. But their habits, there you go, their habits. And you can hunt Pokemon that way, and I don't mean to say hunt in a bad way, because I know the world is a little on edge currently, and I don't want to say we're out there hunting Pokemon. But, yeah, it's like you have to learn the Pokemon, be one with the Pokemon, and it's going to be a more immersive experience. And it was just so seamless. And even the Pokemon that was next to the other one just, like, kept minding his business. It would have been cool if that Pokemon would have seen what was going on and ran away, but maybe that's me being a little too nitpicky. But the way that the Pokemon was caught made me think there'll be, like, an aiming aspect in the game. Like, you can almost determine where your Pokeball goes, like, when it leaves your hand. I was thinking maybe a combination of strength and arc, you know what I mean? So, like, how hard you're going to throw it, how high up you're going to throw it, and having to actually incorporate that into your throws. So, if you don't time your throw right or aim your throw correctly, maybe you lose a Pokeball. I don't know. They've got to go more into detail on that, but that would be pretty neat. So it's not like every time you throw a Pokeball, it's going to automatically try to catch whatever Pokemon's closer. I'd like to see, like, a risk-reward system incorporated. But like I said, I do feel like this is the Pokemon Company trying out a new type of game to see how it goes. And if the fans eat this game up like I think we're going to, I can see other remakes coming or other Legends, insert random Pokemon name here, titles coming out in the future. Or even the mainstream Pokemon games will take over this art style, hopefully. That would be really cool. The first time I watched the video, I wasn't excited. I said, this is silly. It takes place so far back. You know, it's none of the characters I'm going to know. And the more I think about it, like, I'm beyond excited for it. Because it's not something that's already written in a way, or, well, I guess it is already written, it's in the past, but it's not a game where you can't disconnect from, like, the show, or, you know, the novels, or anything like that. This is something that's a totally different story. And that part excites me a lot, I think. So it's a way to see how Pokemon were back in the old days. Because Pokemon didn't just come out of nowhere, apparently. I mean, they didn't just spawn one day. They've lived alongside humans for hundreds or perhaps thousands of years. And I think that's what this game is going to aim to show. And I'm pretty excited for that personally. No specific release dates were given. But they did give, like, you know, loose release dates. So Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl are scheduled for late 2021. And Legends Arceus is scheduled for early 2022. So I would imagine that Diamond and Pearl probably release sometime in October. Because I think Pokemon has a special 25th anniversary set planned for around October. So to me, that makes the most sense. They'll probably do that, you know, around October, as it would, you know, help sell that stuff. And these games are obviously being remade for the 25th anniversary. Now, as far as the Legends Arceus early 2022, I would think April. Would they consider April early 2022? I consider April. I guess that's early. I would imagine like maybe April, but don't hold me to that. Unless I'm right, then I told you so. All right, so Pokemon has announced the next expansion called Chilling Rain. Not Rain, R-A-I-N. It's Rain, R-E-I-G-N. Pretty sure I spelled that correctly. Yeah, Chilling Rain. So I'm going to pull up an article here. So it says the next expansion to the Pokemon trading card game is Chilling Rain, and I did spell it correctly, which will feature the new legendary Pokemon Calyrex. PokeBeach reports that the new Pokemon card set will be released in June and will contain Pokemon V and VMAX card of Ice Rider Calyrex and Shadow Rider Calyrex. Like the Battle Styles expansion, which is set to come out this month, the release of Chilling Rain will be delayed by 1 month from the Pokemon TCG's usual release schedule. No other information about the set was provided, although it will likely contain cards featured in the Japanese expansions Matchless Fighters and Silver Lance / Jet Black Spirit. The set will also continue the new Battle Styles mechanic introduced in the Battle Styles expansion. So, yeah, they didn't give a lot of information on it. Gonna have a Ice Rider Calyrex, Shadow Rider Calyrex. So it's a new legendary Pokemon. I'm excited to see how that is. I like the name of the title, or the name of the set, a lot. You know, I've already spoken about how I like the set names for Sword and Shield so far. You know, Vivid Voltage and Battle Styles and now Chilling Rain. Like, it's just awesome names for sets, you know what I mean? It really is. Like, Chilling Rain, I would imagine, like, maybe something Frost. Like, the design on the booster box. It would be really cool to see something frozen. Like, I'm thinking, like, Wrath of the Lich King from World of Warcraft type graphics would be really, really neat, I think. That would get me excited for it. I mean, I'm already excited for it, obviously, but that would get me a little more excited for it. So that'll be the next set after Battle Styles. Chilling Rain in June. This month is March, so April. So 3 more months. Not bad. Alright, so we're going to get ready to close out here. We're less than a week away from Battle Styles releasing. I've already received my allocation numbers. I listed my stock on my eBay store, and I'm sold out. I sold out in 2 days. My distributor should have it to me by Wednesday. I think he's shipping it out to me on Monday. But once I get it, I'll go ahead and start shipping my orders out. Take a few days to ship those out. Pokemon is still flying off the shelves, and it's a little discouraging, honestly. I think everything, anytime you go out now, it's kind of discouraging, but for me, part of the fun was going out places and, you know, you walk by the Pokemon aisle and you just get to look at the vast collection of product and, you know, it felt good, it felt right. And it's discouraging going anywhere now with the masks and the social distancing and the plexiglass up in front of the registers, and everything just feels so weird in the world right now. It feels backwards. you have people standing in line waiting to get Pokemon every time it comes out, you know, scalpers, and I don't know, man, it feels like something scary, like something out of a scary movie or something. Like, you can't even be near people, or you can't, like, not wear a mask and breathe comfortably. It's just scary. But, yeah, part of the fun was looking at the Pokemon aisle whenever you go to Walmart or Target, your local game stores, and feel like that's just been taken from everyone. If you guys are interested in Battle Styles, I hope that you've already pre-ordered it. But make sure you're pre-ordering from a, you know, a good source, a reputable source. Because I know a lot of stores were taking pre-orders before they ever got allocations. And I was able to get half of what I requested, so my allocation was half. So it wasn't cut down as bad as, you know, Shining Fates or Vivid Voltage. Those were cut down pretty bad. But Battle Styles still only got half of what I thought I would get, which is still a lot more than I expected, honestly. Thank you guys so much for listening this week, man. I know a lot of you still come back and you listen, and a lot of new people are still being introduced to the podcast, and I do appreciate you guys so much. I'm sorry for my absence as of late, but with being sick and getting things ready for the baby, it's just been really, really hard, and I haven't really had a chance to do this. And I love doing this. Like, I love sitting down. I love talking to you guys. I love talking about Pokemon. I love spreading, you know, information about things and going over all the news. And it really is a highlight of my week. So when I'm not able to do it, like, it affects me too. But I'm really sorry. I hope you guys can stick with me and find it in your heart to understand and know that everything's going to balance out. And we'll be back to putting out, you know, informative podcasts every week eventually. I'm going to do it as much as I can every week if I can. But some weeks, if I'm not able to, it's not because I don't want to. I do apologize. It's just, you know, sometimes life gets in the way, you know. And it'll be different if this were my job, if this were my source of income. Then I would have the, you know, 50 hours a week that I spend at my 9-to-5 job that I could put towards this, but unfortunately I don't have that. But I want to end this by saying that I love you all, and we'll speak next week. Everyone have a very, very good week.